Hey guys, welcome to my very first brutally honest movie review. I'm planning on doing a whole segment of these, so I love movies and I love crime documentaries and stuff, so I really wanted to get into that whole different realm of things that I like to talk about. So I really do enjoy watching a lot of documentaries on Netflix. Most of the stuff that I watch is mainly on YouTube. But if I see something on YouTube and it shows me like a different, it talks about like a certain crime, like I'll Google and see if there's like a documentary about it so I can get more information. But today I'm actually just gonna do a regular, brutally honest movie review. I wrote a movie review about this in the newspaper, and it got published, and it was like crazy. It was crazy how much I said, and I didn't necessarily think my words would have mattered, but people actually really liked it. So I was actually very impressed with myself. But I wanted to talk about this movie called Mother. It was directed and written by Darren Aronofsky. And let me just say, spoiler alert, this movie was a whole different set a sense of fucked up. Okay, so it was weird. I saw the movie. I believe it was on Amazon Prime, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just what's this?" So I looked at it and I saw the title, and I was like, "Mother, this is weird." And then I was like, "Wait, that looks like Jennifer Lawrence." And then I realized, "Oh, it really was Jennifer Lawrence." But the way that her picture looked, she just looked like a doll, so I wasn't sure if it was gonna be like some weird movie. I didn't know necessarily what it was gonna be like, but I thought it's got the title Mother, so it's I wonder if it's gonna be like the movie Mama, but it was like it's a whole nother level of what the fuck did I just watch? Okay. So basically in the box office, so it grossed 17 million in the United States in Canada, 26 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $44 million against a production budget of $30 million. Basically, this movie paid itself off. Like, that's crazy, which is really cool. So the actors in this movie were pretty well known. Jennifer Lawrence, she stars the character of Mother. Javier Bardem starred as him, which is the poet. And Ed Harris starred as the man. And Michelle Pfeiffer was the woman. There was a few other characters in there that I'll get into at a later time. But let me just say something really quick about this movie. I felt like I was on some kind of an acid trip when I was watching this. I had absolutely no idea what was going on from the beginning. I was watching it and I was like, this is so weird. Like it starts off, normal. Like you don't really think much of it. It just seems like it's about to be a movie about somebody suffering from like writer's block or something. Like it just didn't make any sense to me. So I was kind of in this sense of, okay, this is a secluded couple. They're in the middle of nowhere. Maybe this is about writer's block, whatever. Maybe she lost a child. I mean, I don't know. It was just the weirdest thing. So many different things happened in this movie that did not make any flippin' sense to me. The way the scenes just kind of how everything was happening, like one right after another, you were just sitting there like, whoa, wait, hang on, what? What was that? I felt like I was having an anxiety attack just because I did not know what the hell was going on. I was like, what the hell am I watching? So after I had watched the movie, which, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and just like be completely honest here for a second. I did not watch the ending of this movie for specific reasons because, for one, I'm a mom myself, and the second I saw the baby being carried around the house, like being passed around, I did not get that feeling like it was going to end well, and so I stopped watching it. I didn't want to watch it. It was horrible. I was like, what the freaking hell is going on? So I turned it off just for my own peace of mind. But and then I'm glad I did, because when I went back and started searching around for like movie reviews about this or an explanation as to what the hell acid trip I just went on was about. I was actually very grateful that I did that because it turns out that what I would have seen would have probably scarred me for life. So, as if I wasn't already mentally scarred from watching this movie to begin with. But anyways, so the entire session of this movie, you're kind of sitting there and you're just like, am I drunk? Am I high? Am I on an acid trip? What the hell is going on? Do I even know what's going on? Did somebody literally just put pieces of a movie together and like splotch them together? Like, it just did not make any sense to me. But then I started really thinking about it and I was like, this seems a little familiar. Something about this seems familiar. So I decided to watch it again. So I watched it again. And this time I just paid attention to everything that was happening throughout the movie. And I just kind of had to put into some kind of a perspective of what was familiar about the movie while I was watching it. And when I did that, everything started to make perfect sense. And I looked it up online just because I wanted to confirm my suspicions of what this movie was about. And when I confirmed it, I was like, holy crap, this is genius. Because at first glance, when you're watching the movie, you're just kind of like, this, th no, that cannot possibly be what this is about. Somebody just made a movie just because they were bored. That's what it, honestly, what the first impression of it seems. But when you really think about it, and you really pay attention, and you pay attention to all of the details of the movie, you're like, whatever this guy just created has to be the biggest freaking masterpiece you could possibly think of, because no one will ever be able to top this. Like, he's untouchable. You cannot remake this movie because he did something that nobody else has ever done. This is crazy. And I was like, he is a flippin' genius. He basically created a movie that puts you in a perspective in biblical terms, but he did it in a way that made people scratch their heads, made people like really think, and it made people not only go a little crazy, but it also made people be like, oh, wow, okay, that makes perfect sense. It was like a testament. It was really neat. And I think he's a genius, and I don't think anyone's gonna be able to touch him after this. Like, you cannot do anything similar to this because then it's gonna be like, well, you were trying to overpower that movie, but this movie did it better. Like, the way he made this movie was absolutely genius. So I'm gonna go through everything and explain to you what this movie is actually about. And now I got this article. I can't remember where I got this article. I don't, it was like on a movie review site. So I'm just gonna kind of go through it. So if you've seen this movie, this is your explanation. If you have not seen this movie, probably steer clear of it just because I don't want you to get a spoiler alert and I don't want you to, be like, oh crap, you ruined the movie. So I'm warning you ahead of time. Let's not, so let, like, just don't worry about it. If you haven't seen it, but you don't plan on seeing it and you still want to know what it's about, then go ahead and keep listening. Okay, so Darren Aronofsky's Mother is bound to be one of the most diverse films of the year. Eschewing traditional narratives and character is just the tip of the iceberg for the aesthetically aggressive movie that isn't quite a psychological horror it's billed as, and certainly not in the vein of Rosemary's Baby beyond featuring a stressed out pregnant woman. But because Mother operates along the lines of dream logic, and because of the film is so steeped in symbolism and tone rather than character and plot, it can be a bit confusing to say the least. I agree. I was confused the entire movie. My brain hurt, and I wanted to stop watching it, but because I just didn't understand it. Okay, so the film invites conversation, and the best thing I can say about Mother is that it's the kind of film that will have you talking with your friends afterwards. That is also very, very true. Because when I watched it, I was like, how many of my friends have seen this movie? And it turns out a lot of them have. But they also couldn't figure out what was going on with it. Okay, so moving on to the next one. So if you're confused or just want another take to engage, here's the serious, okay, here's the explanation. So they said that they're going to be doing total spoilers, so stop reading now if you haven't seen the movie, which is fine. Okay, so Mother is an allegory about God and Earth, which I had no idea at the time. Javier Bardem's character is, whom I'll refer to as the poet, is God, which I also didn't catch until after I had rewatched the movie. And Jennifer Lawrence's character, whom I'll refer to as the mother, is Mother Earth, with the house standing in for the environment. From there, the story attempts to be a biblical allegory of both the Old and New Testament, as well as brief, deeply misanthropic view of human history. Now, okay, what this means is if you are religious by any standards, or you have read the Bible, you know about all like the biblical stories that pertain to here. A lot of people refer to God as the one and only, the Alpha, the Omega. So when you rewatch the movie and you see his character, you can kind of get a grasp that he's trying to create something that is just like a huge masterpiece. Like the world is his masterpiece. So he created the heavens and the earth, which is also in like insight with mother, the mother nature. People refer to as Mother Nature as the one that controls everything around her. It's kind of like that. Okay. So anyways, Ed Harris's man, the man, represents Adam. When he's puking in the bathroom, we quickly see an injury right where his rib would be. In the next scene, his wife, Michelle Pfeiffer, representing Eve, shows up. Okay, so when I first saw this, I was like, I did not understand why he had a wound on his side. That made absolutely no sense. And so I was watching this and I'm like, okay, so she's coming in and she's about to take care of him. He's puking in the toilet and everything. This just does not seem legit. This does not make any sense to me. Then when I rewatched it, because it just, I was like trying to put it into perspective, I was like, this looks a lot like Adam and Eve. Because, for one, in biblical terms, God took a rib from Adam to create Eve. So the whole puncture on the side of his rib made absolute sense after that. Okay. They're allowed to wander the house, but are told specifically not to go into the poet's office. But they do so anyway, where Eve accidentally breaks the fire crystal. Okay, now this is significant, okay? So when Adam and Eve were living in the garden, they were specifically told to stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because that was basically their one rule. They could do whatever they wanted in the sense of just not going near this damn tree. They could not touch the tree, they couldn't go near the tree, they needed to leave the fruit alone. Well, they ate the fruit. So in this sense, they break the crystal, which happens to be what pissed them off so bad. Okay. They're then exiled and soon begin having sex elsewhere in the house, thus representing original sin. And the man's fall from grace after eating the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of the Garden of Eden. Okay, so that part where they're having sex in the bedroom, that was like the most awkward moment of the entire like part of the movie. I was like watching it and I was like, what is this about? That is just so random. But then after you rewatch it and then you kind of put it into that perspective, you're like, that makes perfect sense because they were exiled. They were not allowed to stay in the garden, which is where the beginning of sin started. Like I said, this dude is a genius. Like, I give him this. It's amazing. Okay. Then the couple sons, Brian and Domhnall Gleeson, I guess that's, I don't know how to pronounce that. I think I just butchered his last name. They come along arguing about their dying father's will. In their argument, one of the brother kills the other. Okay, now this is another significant point in history. So in the Bible, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And if you just heard that noise, I apologize. That was my husband sneezing. So anyways, it's Cain and Abel. Now, in the Bible, Cain and Abel were fighting over a birthright, okay? So they ended up getting into a huge fight, and one of them kills the other. So in the movie, these two brothers come barging into the house fighting over his father's dying will. Basically, this was Cain and Abel fighting over their birthright, only it was shown as them fighting over their last will, basically. This is so crazy. Okay. The parents and the poet carry the dead brother out of the house, and the surviving brother runs away. Okay. The poet and the parents then return later that night for a wake. The more and more guests come to grieve. And more guests come to grief. But the wake then becomes a chaotic party where, after numerous protestations not to sit on an unbraced sink, the sink becomes unmoored from the wall and water pours into the house. Thus, we have humanity's downfall following the slaying of Abel and eventually the flood. Okay, so in this scene, when they were having this funeral, basically, all of these people just started immediately showing up. This made absolutely no sense to me. And I was like, why are these people just running in and out of this house? And they're just like acting flipping crazy and they're breaking shit. And it just didn't make any sense. So one of them sits on a sink and then the sink ends up busting and the entire house becomes flooded. Okay, so this is the symbolic part, okay? In the Bible, after all of this stuff happened, Moses got an epiphany from God, basically, where he wanted to get rid of the sin because there were too many people sinning against him, and he instructed him to build an ark. Okay. And then he was going to flood the earth to get rid of the sin and evil from everybody. Hence, when the sink broke, everybody finally just got out of the house and everything like that, and everything was going to get back to normal. So there you go. The flooding house, the evil people breaking stuff and acting a fool and living in sin, that was the flood. Do you understand now? This is insane. Okay. After the water pours into the house and the guests leave, the mother admonishes the poet, saying that he won't even have sex with her. They then proceed to have sex, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I don't think I've ever seen Jennifer Lawrence in a sex scene. And it was the most awkward thing I'd ever seen in my life because the person that she had to act with, it did not make any sense. And it was the most awkward thing to watch, but that is just my own personal opinion. They then proceed to have sex, and the following morning, she announces she's pregnant. He's then struck with a flash of inspiration and goes downstairs naked to write. When he shows her the finished product, she sees a vision of the world rejuvenated and says that it's beautiful. However, once again, people start flooding into their home, and although she's prepared a nice, quiet meal for her and the poet, the fully pregnant mother is overwhelmed by the throng of people. Okay. Now, think about this for a second. Okay. At this point in time, things just don't necessarily make a lot of sense. And now that you've kind of gotten like a grasp of how the movie started, how the movie, portrayed itself from that point to this point, now you're just kind of like stuck in this limbo thinking, okay, what is this shift in movie about to be? Okay. Something is different. Something is very, very different about the setting. Throughout the movie, you can see certain aspects that, are little details that kind of make sense, but you don't get it until after you have to rewatch the movie. So this is kind of where the story takes like a little bit of a turn. Okay. In the article, it says, at this point, the story is kind of leaving the biblical text behind and moving more into of a historical record. The New Testament element is that the mother's child is a Christ figure, but before he's born, the mother goes through a hellish experience surrounded by war, human trafficking, the other nightmarish visuals before the poet finally reappears and brings her to his private office where she can give birth to their son. The allegory here seems to be that God abandoned the earth for stretches at a time before the Messiah figure was born. Okay, now what this means is in the Bible, an angel came to Mary and he told her that she would have a child. And basically, in a religious sense, the baby was Jesus. Okay, so she was Jesus, or not she was Jesus, but she would have been in the sense of Mary. The father would have been, Joseph, and the baby was born, and now he is Jesus. Okay, so that's how you would look at it, but still, she is portrayed as Mother Nature, and the poet is portrayed as God. Okay, because he's the one that created everything, he is the one that is responsible for writing the history of the world and creating everything in his image and stuff like that. So that is where that goes. Okay. Then the mankind screws it all up again and snatches away the baby, kills it, and eats its flesh as they worship at an altar to the poet. Then they assault the mother, ripping at her clothes and beating her senseless before she's finally able to escape, go down the basement, smash open the oil drum, and set the entire place on fire. So even when presented with a savior and in total innocent, mankind only kills, eats the flesh of the Messiah, communion, which is okay. If you are religious, communion is when you drink a cup of wine as the blood of Christ, and then you eat a cracker as consuming the body of Christ, which I never. That always bothered me growing up when I was in church. I'm like, taking communion. I felt like awkward doing that in church. Like, I was always like, so I'm supposed to drink this as a symbol as I'm drinking Jesus's blood and I'm eating this cracker because I'm supposed to be consuming Jesus's body. This makes absolutely no sense to me, but that's just how it was. So basically in the movie, and this is why I'm glad I didn't watch the ending of it, because okay, so when the baby was being passed around, people were just consumed with the fact that they wanted pieces of this Messiah. They wanted to consume the Messiah so they could have some kind of a religious epiphany. Okay, so that's why I'm glad I didn't watch it. It was absolutely horrible. I was like, oh, that sounds horrible. I can't even picture that. But sadly, after I read the review, I was like, yeah, okay, I can see that now, and that's why I didn't watch the ending of it, but whatever. Very symbolic, very interesting, and absolutely genius. Okay, so even when presented with a savior and total innocent man, mankind only eats the flesh of the Messiah, then proceeds to assault Mother Earth with God absent yet again, and Mother Earth finally uses oil, fossil fuels, to destroy herself along with humanity, with God powerless to stop it. Okay? The poet then takes the mother's charred body and takes out her beating heart with his hands. She turns to ash, and the burned heart becomes a new fire crystal. He places the new fire crystal in its holder, and we're brought back to the beginning of the film where placing the fire crystal in the holder undoes the fire damage, and a woman wakes up in their bed. The only thing that's different this time is a different young woman wakes up in the bed. So basically, the earth and humanity will die. And at best, God will simply do everything all over again because he needs to create and desires love from his creations. Okay. Tell me right now that you don't think that that is not the most genius thing you could possibly ever think of to put in a movie. How he came up with this blows my mind. It is the most insane thing I have ever seen in a movie, and he literally nailed it. Okay, so additionally, throughout the film, the mother will pause when getting overwhelmed and touch the walls of the house where she'll have a vision of a heart that's slowly dying furthermore. The house continues to bleed, crack, and fall apart, this reinforcing the notion that Mother Nature is seeing that the environment is dying, especially as more people enter the household and cause chaos. One of this is surprising when you consider that Aronofsky is an atheist. So that's the other thing that drove me like insane when I found that out. I was like, he's a flippin' atheist, and he basically described Christianity, religion, and Mother Nature better than honestly the Bible did itself. That's how I think about this, okay? He's staunchingly environmental, and that humanity's downfall in the face of an environmental catastrophe and an absent God was the theme of the director's previous film, Noah. If you guys ever saw Noah, go watch it. It was a little odd, but still. To be fair, not everything in the film is 1-to-1 ratio, and not everything specifically in the second half lines up with the biblical text or the entire course of the human society. Does Ed Harris's character being a doctor mean anything? Perhaps, but I'm not sure what. Why does all the war and chaos precede to the birth of the Messiah figure rather than follow it? Isn't there war and chaos on both sides of the New Testament? Additionally, the God represented here isn't only a view of supreme being, but for Aronofsky, it is how he views God. As a figure who is frequently absent when needed, yet constantly feels the need to both create and be loved despite the terrible behavior of mankind, and the abuse they shower upon Mother Earth. Okay, so what that means is he views God as this, as much as most people do. So in a sense, when you wonder why these things happen and how a God can create the heavens and the earth, create mankind, and ask that we only follow him because he won't leave us or forsake us. But then he's absent during all of these horrible things that happen to people, like children being molested, people being beat up, people getting shot, killed, people destroying things. There's war. I mean, this is where he stands. This is why he made this fit. This he's why he made this film. I am absolutely impressed because this is how a lot of people view God. You wonder why the heck these things happen to you. And you wonder why all of these things are going on and where is God? You've prayed to him. How can he let all this stuff happen? So this would be basically a picture-perfect example of how an atheist sees the world and how most people who are Christians question God's intentions of creation. Okay. There are also loose ends that I can't tie up or figure out if they even represent anything. I'm not sure what the yellow liquid the mother keeps drinking represents. I don't know why 911 answers the phone when mother calls. Who does Mother Earth call in the event of an emergency? But despite these lingering questions, I'm fairly confident in my reading that the movie is about the relationship between God, Mother Earth, the environment, and humanity, and Aronofsky is coming down on the side of humanity being a plague upon the earth. Okay. So I have my own theory about the liquid. I've got my own theory about the yellow liquid, and I also have my own theory about the 911 call because whenever I watched it, I was kind of like, that doesn't make sense. But then it does. It makes perfect sense, okay? So throughout the movie when she's touching the walls and she's getting like these headaches. It's like this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. So she drinks this yellow liquid and then she suddenly feels better. Because humanity is constantly destroying her, whereas at the same time, we also have humanity that wants to constantly rebuild her. So this is technically like if a person got a headache and they were taking Tylenol to make themselves feel better. And so her headaches are the mass majority of the people trying to cut her trees down. They're causing wounds in the earth, they're causing pain, they're causing conflict, they hurt her. And then the yellow liquid is the humanity that's saying, here, we're trying to rebuild you. Here, don't give up. Just hold on for a little bit longer. Everything is going to make sense soon. That's my theory on it. I don't know if it's real or if it's not. Basically, he kind of left this movie to everybody else's own devices. So you kind of have to come up with it, but This article that I'm reading right now, they hit this on the head. It is absolutely genius. And he has not denied it. So this is amazing. And it makes the most sense, especially if you are a religious person or if you're an atheist. This makes sense to every single aspect you could possibly think as religion or what God is or what humanity is or who Mother Nature is. This is basically a coexist. It is the coolest thing in the world. Now, my theory on the 911 call. So when she calls 911, they hang up on her and they don't call her back. Period. So in reality, if you were to call 911 and you were to hang up, somebody could die. So my take on the 911 call is that Mother Nature is desperately trying to get help because she's literally being destroyed and there's nothing she can do about it. 911 call, she calls, she needs help, no one will help her. So they hang up on her, basically stating that the universe does not give a shit about Mother Nature, period. Tell me that is not genius. Tell me that's not genius. I'm waiting for it. Just tell me. I'd love to hear it. Just that is that on the nail right there. Okay. So they also said the few other readings of the film, but I don't think they account for the entire picture. One reading sees Mother as a story about creation, looking at the poet, a stand-in for all artists, and a double-edged sword about the need to create and the destruction that a work can wreak in its release to the public. While I think Aronofsky certainly feels some kinship to his God figure in terms of an artist needing to create. This reading fails to account for the copious amounts of biblical symbolism, and more importantly, fails to account for the mother. Another reading of the film sees this as a semi-autobiographical take for both Aronofsky and Lawrence. First, Pfeiffer's character makes the comment that the poet is a little old for the mother. Aronofsky is 48, Lawrence is 27. There's also the aforementioned kinship between Aronofsky and the God figure, and the frustration of being worshipped by fans, also the fear they create with their constant devotion. Then, when Mother is attacked and her clothes are being ripped from her body, you can point to how Lawrence's nude photos of her were hacked from her phone and leaked online. She later told Vanity Fair what the hack was, a sex crime. But again, this reading fails to account for the entirety of the movie as the overarching allegory. So in certain senses, yes, that does kind of make sense. I feel like he put a lot of things into perspective, and I feel like he did bring some of those small things to light because what she did go through, it was a little like it was traumatizing for her. So it was basically kind of like this is what would happen to you if you were basically exposed to the public. So I get that. That makes sense to me. But again, the entire movie, there is so much more. Okay, so that's not to say my reading of Mother is the only valid assessment of the film or that art can only have one interpretation. However, I do believe that my case has the most evidence to support it. And if you disagree, I have one more thing to add. Just look at the title. Okay, so the movie title here is Mother Nature, or is Jennifer Lawrence, and she's sitting there holding the heart completely out of her chest, and she's surrounded by nature. I mean, Mother Nature, her heart. Come on now. Well, there you go. So, that to me, whenever I watched this, I was like, and then I really went back and I looked at everything. It made the most sense, and it was the most amazing analogy of different types of representation against Christianity, religion, atheism, Mother Nature, people who worship like Nordic gods and stuff like that. Like it's insane. So another thing that you probably didn't catch. So when she was pregnant and everything just started going insane in her house, like every moment something else happened. So every time she had a quote unquote contraction, you would be immediately thrown into a different setting. Like something was worse. Okay. something was worse. So every time the atmosphere shifted was after every contraction she had, everything began to go insane. So those were her contractions. This was war, this was famine, this was child trafficking, this was murder, this was overrepresentation of the news media, this was lies, this was complete and utter destruction and devastation. And then, bam, she gives birth, and suddenly everything is quiet. Everything is like timid, and everybody just sits and waits. And that's it. And then she then sits there and she's like, I have this beautiful baby. And he's like, well, they want to see him. They want to look at him. And she's like, no, I don't want you to take the baby. He's just a child. He's just a baby. We're supposed to protect him. Well, he literally sits and waits. He waits for her to fall asleep. And she overcomes exhaustion, and then she wakes up to her baby being gone. And then I turned the movie off when I saw them being him being passed around, and then he started like peeing everywhere. And that's when I turned the movie off, because I was like, this is about to get fucking bad. And that is exactly what happened. It was bad. So if you have not seen this movie, I recommend you watch it. I do recommend you watch it, but only watch it if you feel like you can handle something like that. But as I said, those of you who did not watch the movie and continued to listen to this podcast after I specifically warned you that there were going to be spoiler alerts, that's on you, because I did forewarn you and I did let you know that there were going to be spoilers. So I don't want you to send any hate towards me, because I did warn you. So watch that at your own risk. But anywho, I am absolutely impressed. This movie was amazing. So that was the first segment to my brutally honest movie review. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and I will come back and do some more movie reviews and some documentaries, because I got a good one. I do think my next review is going to be the Netflix documentary series of Luca Magnotta called Don't Fuck with Cats. So that's going to be my next one. You guys have a great night. Bye.